Please don't just stay for worship, though. Stay after the service as well for fellowship and friendship in the Martin Shields Hall, where we serve tea and coffee, juice and biscuits for children. You get to that hall through this door here. Turn right. Join us there. Make yourself known to me and to those who are through there. And if you're a visitor, sign the visitor's book as well before you leave. It's at the front door on this side, the east side of the church. I draw everybody's attention to the notices that are with the order of service. They're on the inside back covers. You'll see that next Sunday we have a soup and roll lunch, the 15th, after the service. Everyone's welcome to that. You'll see that the annual stated meeting of the congregation takes place on the 29th of March, at the end of the month, straight after the service. So take note of that and come along to it. You'll see on Tuesday, the guild meets at 2:15, Confessions of a Moderator's Wife. I've no idea. Probably, I'll never know. Come, I might go. Alpha, our senior Sunday school group, are raising funds to purchase toiletries and pot noodles for the Rock Trust, and they've got a sweetie quiz. Why wouldn't you want to take part? A £1 donation, and you can. Where can you get the quiz forms from? You're doing them after church. You get them after church over your tea and coffee, and put the completed forms in the box, and you'll see the notice there. Today is Fresh Start Sunday, so put your Fresh Start items in the buckets at the door. And also, there's a notice there about Christian Aid. If you can join us on the bridge walk on the 25th of April, please do so and get a sponsorship form from Alec Miller and help us to raise. Last year, it was £1,933 for Christian Aid, so help us do the same this year. And one additional notice, yesterday's hospice coffee morning raised £3,002.33 for St. Columbus Hospice. So, yeah, fantastic. Thank you to everyone who came and who took part and who enjoyed themselves yesterday. There is some home baking left in the Crush Hall, so you can still buy some items. We would normally, and we will do, continue our worship by greeting each other with the sign of peace. However, for this Sunday and the coming Sundays, we're not shaking hands. You can, so long as you use a piece of your body that's clothed, you can greet each other, or you don't have to greet. You don't have to rub any part of your body against anyone else. Keep your hands to yourselves. We say peace be with you, and also as you're leaving the church, I won't be shaking hands with you either. So no shaking hands. Otherwise, everything else is fine. So we continue our worship and we exchange words of peace with each other. Peace be with you. The Lord our God is the light of our salvation. Let us worship God, singing to his praise. Hymn number 81, I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Hymn 81.
Let us pray. From Bethlehem, the town of your birth, to Nazareth, the place of your childhood, from the Jordan River of your baptism to the town of Jericho on your journey, from the village of Bethany where you were honored to the city of Jerusalem where you died. From back then to right now, we pray you will come to us in this season of Lent, Lord Jesus, on your journey with sacrificial, vulnerable love. You bring to us wholeness for the sick, healing for the brokenhearted. You call to us to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. You cleanse our temples, liberating our faith from tradition and convention, that we may be born again to find our own way in life, our own path, on our own journey. Come, Lord Jesus, today in this place to us. Yet when you do come to us, we are restless. Our hearts have been enslaved. We have consumed more than we need, wasting more than others have. We have held suspicion in our hearts and have put you and others to the test. We have been selfish with our affections rather than generous with our love. We have felt ourselves superior to others, forgetting they have an equal right to dignity and peace in this world. We have judged too quickly and withheld mercy for too long. Yet you are a forgiving God who declares in Christ that whomever follows him who carries the cross, leads the way, shoulders the sin of the world to take it away, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Lighten our path. Sharpen our focus, that our attention may center more on you than ourselves. Prepare our hearts, that we might become people of prayer, ready to see and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The first reading is from the Gospel of John at chapter 3, and verses 1 to 17. It's on page 874 of the Pew Bible, but you can follow it in the order of service, where we're reading it as a dramatized reading. There was one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, who came to Jesus by night. He said,
Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the signs of yours unless God were with him.
Jesus answered,
In truth, in very truth I tell you, unless a man has been born over again, that man cannot see the kingdom of God.
But how is that possible for a man to be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?
In truth I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from water and spirit. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. It is a spirit that gives birth to spirit. You ought not be astonished then when I tell you that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wills. You can hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So with everyone who is born from spirit.
How is this possible?
What? Is this famous teacher of Israel ignorant of such things? In very truth I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, and yet you all reject our testimony. If you disbelieve me when I talk to you about things on earth, how are you to believe if I should talk about things of heaven? No one ever went up into heaven except the ones who came down from heaven, the Son of Man whose home is in heaven. This Son of Man must be lifted up as the serpent was lifted up by Moses in the wilderness, so that everyone who has faith in him may in him possess eternal life. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that everyone who has faith in him may not die but have eternal life. It was not to judge the world that God sent his Son into the world, but that through him the world might be saved.
Good morning. I am accepting a challenge this morning to construct a children's address around a soft toy. I've been asked if I can construct a children's address using a soft toy. I don't usually do children's addresses to requests, but if you do have a challenge for me, I'm always up for a challenge. This morning's challenge is here in my hand. Does anybody know what this is? Yes, Aidan. It's a panda. Can anyone guess, Hannah, you had your hand up, what this panda's name is? Can anybody give a guess just before I ask Aidan? Yes, Eloise. It's not Bob, no? Any other suggestions? No, it's not James. Aidan. Stripes. I thought his name was Panda. Panda has got a new name. His name's Stripes. Does anybody know what nationality pandas are? Yeah. Chinese. Yes. Does anybody know where pandas live? China. But this panda doesn't live in China. Where does this panda live? Yes, Aidan. In Aidan's bedroom. In his bed. Does anybody know where pandas usually live, apart from in Aidan's bedroom? Yes, Eloise. Zoos, that's right. Some pandas live in Christoffen. Bamboo forests, there are. Yes, bamboo forests. So now we know this is Panda. This is not Panda. This is a panda whose name is Stripes, who lives in Aidan's bed. He's Chinese, and most pandas live in bamboo forests. Some live in Christoffen. If I was to ask you who you are, what would you say? If I was to ask you who you are, what would you say? Okay, you don't know who you are. Let me help you out. Would you use your name? Yes, your name, you might use your name. Anything else if I asked you who you are? What about where you live? Would that help? Yeah, I would say I was Fraser from Christoffen. And what about your nationality? Anybody here got a nationality? Yeah, anybody here is Scottish? Yes, okay, so you'd have your name and your nationality and where you live, and you might use your religion. You might say, I'm a Christian. And you might say, what else? You might say which school you go to. You might say you go to, which school do you go to? Okay, so you might say you go to Christoffen Primary or Greggs Bank or whichever school you go to. What else? You might say that you are the child of parents of so-and-so and so-and-so. You might say that. And look, I've written some suggestions down here. Anything else you might say? Anything else you might say about who you are? Yes. Sorry? Your age. You might say that. You might say your age. That's right, Rebecca. You might say your age. Anything else? Yes, Aidan. Yes. That you have a head. That's right. You might say you're a human being. Mm-hmm. You might say that. Now, of all those things, your name, your religion, your humanity, where you live, your nationality, all those things, how many of those things did you decide? Did you get to decide? How many of those things? So did you get to decide your name? No. Did you get to decide your nationality? Did you say, right, Mum, let's move to Christoffen? Did you get to do that? No, if that's where you live, or wherever it is you live. Did you get to decide which school you went to? No, dear. Did you get to decide who your parents are? Did you get to decide your religion? Did you say, I think we'll go, let's go to the mosque this morning. Did you get to do that? No. Did you get to decide, what else did we think? Did you get to decide whether you've got a head and you're a human being? None of these things you got to decide. None of these things you got to decide. In our reading this morning, there was a man called Nicodemus, and he went to see Jesus. Nicodemus knew who he was. He was Jewish. He was a leader. He was like a minister. He knew where he lived in Israel. He knew he lived in the city of Jerusalem. So he knew who he was. But he wasn't very happy. Despite knowing who he was, he wasn't very happy. We know he wasn't very happy because he went to see Jesus. And people who go to see Jesus often have a problem. So he had, but he went to see Jesus at night. So he had a big problem. Jesus told him, if you want to be happy in life, you need to discover who you are for yourself. You need to discover who you are for yourself. You need to discover your own relationship with God, your own relationship with yourself, your own relationship with other people, not just what has been decided for you. You need to discover these things for yourself. That was true for Nicodemus, and it's true for all of us as well. At some point in our lives, we need to discover for ourselves who we are. And when we discover for ourselves who we are, we can build our own relationship with God. We can build our own relationship with ourselves and our own relationship with other people. We can truly love God, ourselves, and others. Let us pray. Loving God, you called us into this world, and we were born into it. But you call us to be born again, so that we discover who we are for ourselves, and that way we can love you, love ourselves, and love other people. We pray your Spirit will give us the strength to do this. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing our next hymn. It's hymn number 600, and it is Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind, hymn 600.
During the intimations, I forgot to intimate that one of the members of this congregation, Fran Fluker, died last week. Her funeral is on Wednesday, the 18th of March at 2 p.m. at Warriston Crematorium. Please remember her family and her friends in your prayers these coming weeks.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 4 and 13 to 17, and this can be found on page 930 of the Pew Bible. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. What then are we to say about Abraham, our ancestor in the natural line? If Abraham was justified by anything he had done, then he has a ground for pride. But he has no such ground before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham put his faith in God, and that faith was counted to him as righteousness. Now, if a man does a piece of work, his wages are not counted as a favour. They are paid as debt. And then reading from verse 13, for it was not through law that Abraham or his posterity was given the promise that the world should be his inheritance, but through the righteousness that came from faith. For if those who hold by the law, and they alone, are heirs, then faith is empty and the promise goes for nothing. Because law can only bring retribution, but where there is no law, there can be no breach of law. The promise was made on the ground of faith, in order that it might be as a matter of sheer grace, and that it might be valid for all Abraham's posterity. Not only for those who hold by the law, but for those also who have the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all. As Scripture says, I have appointed you to be father of many nations. This promise, then, was valid before God, the God in whom he puts his faith, the God who makes the dead live and summons things that are not yet in existence as if they already were. Thanks be to God for the readings of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Send your Spirit among us, O God, as we meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ together. By your Spirit, prepare our minds to hear your word. Move our hearts to accept what we hear. Purify our will to faithfully follow Jesus Christ in joy and faith. This we pray through the same Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Has anyone ever come to you looking for advice? It's flattering, isn't it? How you feel when someone comes to you looking for advice. It's flattering. It makes you feel trusted, liked, important. Has anyone ever come to you for advice in the middle of the night? Knocked on your door? Woken you up? How might you feel then? On top of feeling flattered, trusted, liked, important, you might think that the problem the person was disturbing you about must be pressing, immediate, important, such that they couldn't wait until morning to come to you. Or would you feel suspicious because the person had come to you in the middle of the night? Do they not want anyone to see them visiting you, to ask you for advice? Might you think that? Has anyone ever come to you for advice about something in the middle of the night who self-evidently considers themselves and is considered by the whole country to be an expert themselves on the subject about which they have come to you in the middle of the night for advice? How would you feel? How would you feel if in the middle of the night there was a knocking, gentle, at your door, getting louder so that it woke you up and you went downstairs, or where, maybe you don't have two stories in your house, you went from your bedroom, you went to the front door, and you opened the door, and standing there was the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon. Yeah, I would, yes. I've heard you, she says, I've heard you've got an opinion about the, you know, the whole independence thing, and I was just wondering, what would you do? Well, I think you've just done it. I think you just start laughing. What? That's what I think I would do. It'd just be, what? Jesus didn't. He played it straight. He knew this kind of ridiculous scenario does not usually happen. So when it does, something is going on. So he took Nicodemus seriously. And Jesus told Nicodemus exactly what he thought. You see, Jesus had worked it out, the night visit from the person in power, the representative of the establishment. Nicodemus hadn't come for advice. He had come to put Jesus in his place. There was one of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish council, who came to Jesus by night. He said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the signs of yours unless God were with him. Jesus took Nicodemus seriously and gave him an enigmatic metaphor to ponder. If you want to see the kingdom of God arrive in Israel, then you must be born again. Now, Jesus might have taken Nicodemus and his visit seriously, but Nicodemus didn't take Jesus seriously, which is why he had visited in the middle of the night in the first place. He treated Jesus' enigmatic metaphor about the kingdom of God and being born again as if Jesus was speaking literally. Born again? From your mother's womb? What do you mean? Don't be daft. Well, that was a mistake. Here's a piece of advice. Don't ever treat Jesus like a fool. All you'll get is a very long lecture that will make you feel stupid. Nicodemus wasn't stupid. He was a Pharisee, and not just any Pharisee, he was a member of the Jewish council. He was an important man. He was a member of the establishment. The establishment back then, much like today, was very clear about who people were in this world, how they should live in this world, and whether they were living within or out with the kingdom of God. Who you were back then depended on your birth. If you were born Jewish to Jewish parents, then you were Jewish. If you were born to Greek parents, you were Greek. If your parents were Roman citizens, then so were you. That's who you were. Moreover, if you were Jewish or Roman or whatever, then you had to obey the laws and the customs of Israel or Rome or wherever. If you didn't follow the laws, you might be imprisoned. If you didn't follow the customs of your birth, you might be ostracized in some way. Your identity, the way you lived, and your fate all depended on where and to whom you were born, and whether you were obedient to the laws and the customs of that identity that you inherited from where you were born or to whom you were born. It's the same today. Who you are, the way you live, what your fate is in life, depends almost entirely on who your parents were, where you were born, and whether or not you are obedient to the laws and customs of the country in which you live, even though you never decided any of these things. You had no say on who your parents were or where you were born, and you had very, very little say about the laws and the customs of the country you live in, which you are expected to be obedient to. But these things are the things that, for the most part, define who most people are, how they live, what their fate in life is. Nicodemus represents that tradition, which can be applied to religion, nationality, and other things, that tradition that identifies people by the circumstances of their birth. Nicodemus was born to Jewish parents in Israel. That made him Jewish. Moreover, he was obedient to the laws and customs of Judaism, and that sealed his fate. You couldn't be more Jewish than Nicodemus. His identity was certain. How he should live was clearly defined. His fate, his salvation, was clear. He'll die Jewish. That was his life. What a load of nonsense, said Jesus. If Nicodemus represents the establishment back then and now that defines who you are by your birth and by your obedience, Jesus represents a completely different way of understanding who you are and how you should live. That different way of understanding your identity and life is one that you have a say over. Who are you? Are you who your parents were? Are you defined by the country you were born in? Is your character built on your obedience to the laws and customs of the country you live in? Nicodemus says, yes, that's right. Your fate, your salvation is sealed by these things. Jesus says, no. Your fate, your salvation depends on you discovering your own identity. If you want a relationship with God, if you want to be a Christian, being born to religious parents is never going to be enough. Nor is coming to church every Sunday, nor is sitting through a church membership class, nor is doing all three of these. It's helpful to do these things, but it's not enough. You need a spiritual connection to God to truly feel what it means to be a Christian. If you want a relationship with Scotland, to be Scottish, being born to Scottish parents is never going to be enough, nor is being born here in Scotland, nor is passing a citizenship test, nor is doing all three. It's helpful to do these things, but it's not enough. You need a spiritual connection. If you want a relationship to another person, if you want a marriage, it's not enough to attend a legal wedding ceremony, to live in the same house with your partner, to sleep in the same bed. It's helpful to do these three things. You have obediently followed the laws and customs of marriages, but following these laws and customs won't seal your fate as a married person. If that's all you have, your marriage can't be saved. To truly feel married, you need a spiritual connection with your partner. Jesus isn't the only person who knows this. There are people all over the world who know that they are not defined by where they were born or to whom they were born or by the laws of the land of their birth or by the customs upheld by their parents. Those people are migrants, millions of them, who travel thousands of miles away from war-torn nations, away from laws that oppress them, away from customs handed down to them that enslave them. Those people are seeking identities of their own choosing in new places with new people amongst different laws and different customs. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he should become a migrant. Not a migrant of place, but a migrant of the mind. Nicodemus thought his fate, his salvation, depended on the relationship he had with God as a consequence of being born Jewish. Jesus told him that his fate, his salvation, depends on the relationship he builds with God himself. He has to be born again. It's a spiritual thing. In truth, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from water and the Spirit. Flesh can give birth only to flesh. It is spirit that gives birth to spirit. The difference between these two people, Nicodemus and Jesus, is the difference between a person who is obedient and a person who is faithful. Obedience can get you far in life, but you only truly arrive when you have faith, when you start to believe. Whoever you are, you can go far by being obedient to your identity as defined by the land of your birth, the parents you were born to, the laws and customs of the land you live in, but you only truly arrive in life when you start to believe in yourself, when you have faith in your own existence, and that's a spiritual thing. This is the season of Lent, and we are on a journey with Jesus to the crucifixion in Jerusalem. To follow Jesus on this journey to the crucifixion and then to the resurrection and to your salvation, you need to obediently stay with him on the road he is taking. But that's not enough. You need faith as well. You need faith as well. You need to discover this road for yourself. You need to believe that this is your journey as much as his. Otherwise, when the going gets tough in life, you'll worry, and then you'll panic, and then you'll wander off, and then you'll get lost, and then you'll realize that you don't know who you are after all, or where you are, or what you should do. You were born into this life, and that birth defines you. But you'll never be you until you are born again. Obedience and faith are important, both of them. Be obedient to your traditions, but find your own faith, and you will be born again. You'll discover a new life. You'll become a new person. You will find salvation. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glory, jubilant and above reproach, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Hymn 118, Womb of Life and Source of Being, hymn 118.
Thank you.
In thankfulness, we give in gratitude and joy. With prayerfulness, we give in sacrifice and love. With a spirit of hopefulness, we give in commitment to God in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We continue our worship with our offering. Compassionate God, we offer you these gifts as signs of our time and labor. Receive the offering of our lives and feed us with your grace, that in the midst of death all creation might feast on your unending life, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Remembering that in his life, passion, and death, Jesus identified with the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized, let us join in a litany of intercession for all for whom Christ suffered and died, and for all for whom he lives today. Let us pray. We pray for all who commit themselves to God's mission, stirring up the powers of this world in order that human relationships between men and women, young and old, people near to us and those far away, may be based upon liberty and justice rather than exploitation and oppression. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the liberties that we enjoy. But Lord, save us, we pray, from indifference, and give us courage to work for justice and responsible freedoms everywhere in the world. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the affluent in the world, people across the world like us living in developed and developing countries. We pray that they may not succumb to the temptation of greedy materialism and see power and wealth as the road to salvation. Lord, we give you thanks for our blessings, but open our hearts, our lives, our society, and help us to discover our worth in terms of what we can become as people made in your image, born again, rather than people made in the image of what we own or consume. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those people who live in places in the world where beauty has become brokenness by the devastating effects of a changing climate, and where consequently people's lives are in danger. as we give thanks for the beauty of our world, for our climate, for all that we have in this country. Save us, Lord, from misusing what you have given for all to share, so that those whose lives are in danger of being washed away may feel born again, living without fear in the face of danger. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for people who have been forcibly uprooted from their homeland to live as aliens in other lands, searching for rebirth away from the darkness that has destroyed the land of their birth. Help us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, to find human solutions to human tragedies. As we give thanks for all that we have in our country, we pray for all people separated from one another because of religious or political differences. Help us, Lord, to work for tolerance, dialogue, and goodwill among peoples of differing faiths and political convictions. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those people who are close to us, in our families, in our church, and in our communities, who today are ill, brokenhearted, or lost in mind or spirit. In particular, we pray for those who are suffering from any illness, but particularly COVID-19. May they find healing and release from stigma. In this time of silence, we bring before you the names of those whom we know personally who are suffering in any way today. In particular, we remember the family of Fran Fluker. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Eternal God, we give thanks to you for the great community of faith into which you have brought us, for those who have kept safe our scriptures, gathered our songs, built our sanctuaries, and taught us to know and trust you. Grant us grace in our day to live as faithfully as they did, and to provide us generously for our children, until you bring us, with all your people, into the fullness of your eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. People of God, go and claim the freedom that Christ has offered you, the new birth. By faith, may he enable us to serve the world together, and through our obedience to his will, to transform the world around us. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. We sing hymn number 123, God is love, let heaven adore him. Hymn 1, 2, 3.
Oh.
The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you all.